Up, Marilyn, Dennis, and Jamar. Podcast. They'll get you feeling good. Chum 104.5.
I'm Jay Michaels for Jamar. Meredith is here for Marilyn. And Caitlin is Caitlin.
I'm here for me.
One and only Caitlin, as there can only be.
That's true.
One true Caitlin. Thank you, by the way, for the text at 104.536 for the Flickr Classic Women's Shaver by Persona.
I had never seen this thing before. I did that little Google search. I think it looks helpful.
I thought I made it up.
It's round.
When I found out it was real, I was kind of relieved. I'm like, good, that wasn't in my head. Do you think you could use that thing?
Yes, I do. I like that. It seems very ergonomical in my hand. It feels like something, because that's the problem. You nick everywhere. So that's a good, I'm into it. Bring back the Flickr.
Yep. Yeah, you have to think.
No, no one's joining me. Okay.
Well, no, I think if you're smart and maybe you work for, you know, one of the big pharma, you're thinking to yourself, I heard that. I'm going to bring that back.
Yeah.
Because everything retro is new again.
It's just nostalgia.
Yeah.
This is very nostalgic.
You know where they need to put it?
Where?
TikTok.
True.
It needs to be like a hack or something with the round razor, and then everyone will be like, wah, 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 wah.
Correct.
And someone's song has to be the impetus for a dance that goes along with it.
Flickr, yeah, exactly. Like shaving dance. Anytime I hear, and this is getting into some deep references, but anytime I hear Bananarama by Venus, is that true?
Yes.
No, not by Venus. Bananarama.
Venus by Bananarama.
There we go. I think it's like Pavlov's dog to shave my legs, because that's the song they use in the razor.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
She's got it. You can see the ring in her hand.
I'm your Venus. I just imagine a bunch of smooth legs in my mind floating around. I feel bad. It was taken by Gillette from that band. That song is no longer theirs. It belongs to legs everywhere.
Yes, it does. Mm-hmm.
I think you could have a very deep conversation on songs that are no longer property of the artist because the ad, right, has taken it over.
Has taken hold. It's so true.
Like every Apple commercial has co-opted every song.
1, 2, 3. Where's my iPod?
Five.
Yeah, for me, it's Blur's song too, and I think of whatever the iPod generation, the Nano, I think was the generation.
Oh yeah.
So for those of you observing American Thanksgiving, thank you so much for listening to this Canadian morning show. By the way,
it's true, and actually, there are two morning show hosts are observing American Thanksgiving.
Now, what
which is why we're here, Jay.
Do we know what they're doing? I would imagine football is in there somewhere in Maryland, and for Jamar, it's visiting family.
He said yesterday, he's on his mom's couch. That's what he was just looking forward to, going through all the travel with Kofi and this, you know, high chairs, whatever you're bringing on. Not, you don't bring a high chair on the plane, but, you know, car seat, all that stuff.
Baby Bjorn. Whatever the stuff is.
And he just wanted to sit on his mom's couch. So I hope that is what our Jamar is doing right now.
I think any of us that have a couple of days off would just love to be taken care of by mom.
And Jamar's mom, in particular.
Oh, yeah? She's super good at the game?
Yeah, she's a sweetheart.
Yeah.
You might not remember this from yesterday, but it's kind of my gig at News Talk 1010, but the economic ministry yesterday announcing $90 million to go towards the trades, including 800 Ontario high schools where you will be recruited to work in the trades because we so desperately need people to work in them. And that includes the plumbing trade.
Yeah.
Which is having an absolutely, there's Black Friday, but tomorrow's Brown Friday.
Come on.
For plumbers.
Wait.
So you can pretty much figure out the definition there.
Brown Friday.
For U.S. plumbers.
Yes.
Asterisks.
Yes.
Those Canadian plumbers are jealous.
Rubbing their hands together, looking to the south.
They're border hopping and getting some extra hours.
Oh, my gosh.
So several factors contributing to why it's called.
Please get into the factors, Jeff.
Yeah, it's why we're doing this super early. Hopefully nobody's had anything to eat yet. Just don't blend the smoothie just yet.
Mm.
Several factors that contribute to the issue include large gatherings, meal preparation, kitchen cleanup, overloaded sinks and disposals, and
the other option.
Sure.
Yeah.
Which we can refer to, I think, is the post-meal deal.
There you go.
How about that?
See, this is something that I've noticed, too. If you guys go to someone's house and you have, like, you know, the family member or the friend where instead of throwing food out in the garbage, they're like, you know what I'll do? I'll just jam it all down the sink. And you see it. It's like swirling. I've seen it. You go to someone's house and the sink is, like, filled with food waste. And they just try to jam it with a fork down. And I'm like, we don't have, like, garburators anymore in Canada. It's not a thing here. Uh-uh. They have them in the U.S.
Yeah.
But I can see how this would happen. That would have been my number one guess as to why it would be quote unquote Brown Friday.
Well, congratulations to all the U.S. plumbers.
That's right.
You know, they get to party hard because apparently U.S. Thanksgiving is also a party weekend.
That's right.
So they party hard, they work hard. Play hard, work hard, play hard.
Chum 104.5. Horror horoscopes.
Well,
Virgo.
Good morning, Virgo. Hello, me. Issues with your workflow and a desire to be more adventurous could set you thinking about the possibilities open to you if you redesign aspects of your life. As the moon angles towards Saturn, it might make you feel less stuck. I almost read that as it might make you feel like life sucks less. I don't know why I did that. Your day is a six.
Pisces.
My fishies have bold ideas in mind. Current influences suggest excitement around what's possible. Don't make any snap decisions, though, as you are likely to either be too conservative or too way out, when practical and innovative will be your best bet. A little bit better than Jay today. Your day's a seven.
Capricorn.
Is it a competition? Let's see if this one wins.
Yeah,
it Capricorn, is. Shopping can seem the way out of a tricky issue. Even so, if you experience a clash with someone in your social circle, this matter will still be reverberating in the ether. Even if you do have some new clothes or other treats, give them a call. Your day, Albertine, is a seven.
But you win for big words. Reverberating.
Wow.
Whoa.
The word of the day.
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
Get all of today's horoscopes on the Marilyn Dennis and Jamar page on our website, chum1045.com.
Chum1045. The morning. Back to the morning show. With Marilyn Dennis and Jamar.
I don't know if this is an irrational fear or maybe this is based on gender, but I have to be honest with you, Meredith, Caitlin, I have never once ever gone into an Airbnb or a hotel room and thought to myself, I wonder if there's hidden cameras here.
No?
No. No.
Oh, I definitely think about it. Yes. And I would say, Caitlin, if we're Goldilocks, Caitlin's like all the way thinking about it.
Okay. Yeah, you're right.
Not at all,
when she's
I'm
not thinking about housing prices.
I assume that they're there as a starting point.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not at that point yet, but I definitely, I'm like, oh, what is that? Where is this? Yeah, I have my wits about me, as my mom would say.
Yes.
As she taught me. Yeah. I think you have to. Even in change room, I just assume, honestly now, I think what it is I assume I am being recorded out and about almost at all times.
I always get knocked because people complain that I give away all my information too freely. Like when I cross the border, when that'll ever happen again, hopefully soon. As soon as I don't have to get tested and spend $100 on that, but that's another story. But whenever I get that Welcome to America message, I'm always like, this is great. I have an alibi. Like if anything ever happened, it's like, well, no, Jay's in America because Sprint told him, Welcome to America.
I love that
my phone tracks me all the time.
You love it.
I do. I don't mind at all. I would not be down with the hidden camera thing though.
No. Sure. And apparently, so this is so prevalent that now hunting for hidden cameras has become this whole thing online and a very great way to get a bajillion views is if you create a video where you outline how to find hidden cameras in hotel rooms and Airbnbs, because there are so many videos of people discovering them and it's scary. So this is a
let's play it.
Yeah, so this is a guy.
Hey!
This is like a social media blogger guy in the UK. And this is his initial description, and it went viral, of how to find a hidden camera.
So here's how to spot hidden cameras in an Airbnb or hotel. Now the first thing you're going to want to look for is devices that are conveniently placed where a creeper would want to look. Take this fire alarm for instance, it's placed right above the bed. Now one way to see if a device is a camera is to shine a bright light at it. If you hit a camera lens, it's going to give a bluish reflection. Now you can test this by shining a light at your phone and seeing how the camera looks when placed under a flashlight. Now this clock is mirrored, but if we shine a bright light at it, we can see through the glass and see there's a camera there. Now this technique can also work on two-way mirrors.
He is creeping me out.
Well, I was going to say, he also does the voice of, here's how you can hide hidden cameras in
Oh my gosh.
The first place you should look is above the bed.
I like that he's like a creeper. Here's where a creeper would place a camera.
Is he helping or hurting this whole scenario?
Well, when you watch him reveal that there's like a very regular looking clock radio and he shines a light on it and you see the little camera lens in it, you're like, oh, that's where it is.
Wow.
So that really is all it takes. You just take you take the flashlight setting on your phone, set it to as bright as you can, and you aim it at anything to see if there's a lens flare back at you. Like a lens, like if like a reflection.
And then what? So now I see the little creeper is put the camera in the alarm clock. Then what am I doing? I'm putting like a sweater over it and staying at the Airbnb anyway?
I think you call the front desk. Clearly.
Well, I was going to say, your stay is free.
Right.
And
there
you're
go.
Probably getting some money.
Yeah.
There's no way I'm leaving without a bunch of stuff in that scenario.
I'm going to Casino Rama this weekend. I have a feeling all I'm going to find like is chips that people lost behind the sofa. or near the fireplace. That's what I'm actually thinking.
Marilyn Dennis and Jamar. Chum 104.5.
Welcome back to You Be the Judge. This is a great story because it's either going to appeal, Meredith, to like, this is going to be for you. Oh my God, this is the most romantic thing in the world. Or I'm guessing Caitlin's going to be like, this sounds like my worst nightmare. This could go either way.
Oh, that is an interesting judgment call you're making, Jay.
So,
my personality, we will see.
We shall see. We shall see if I nail it.
Yeah.
So essentially what happened is a young woman in the UK, she's in her early 20s, lives with her parents. She was talking with someone online about being friends during the pandemic. And this woman she was talking to has a son. So she reached out to the son. Things happen as they do. They started to chat. They end up in an online relationship.
Cute.
They've never met, but they're married.
What do you mean?
I mean,
Does she know that she's married? They got married.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes,
is this some sort of MLM?
it was not fishing.
Okay.
No, they are legit married. Listen.
It was like literally only a couple of weeks after we first started talking where we turned it into a relationship, not just friends. So I think it kind of naturally just went into that. Like it was just, I don't know, it was kind of just like that's what it was supposed to be from the start. It wasn't, I don't know, it was just, it was pretty fast that that's just what it turned into.
She does not speak in sentences very well.
A little fragmented. It's okay.
I want to think it's romantic. I really do. But as someone who is now engaged.
Yeah. Congratulations, by the way.
Thank you. And has been with my partner for 5 years. That seems real quick to me. But sometimes quick is you don't know what you're getting into. And maybe that's better.
So quick is Meredith's takeaway as opposed to you've never met and you got married on Zoom. You look at the timing.
I am looking at the timing. Yeah, meeting would be a good first step. Well, it's so quick because they haven't even met yet. That's right. Isn't this a show? Didn't I binge watch this show on a streamer? What is this called?
90 Day Fiancé.
No.
Is that it?
And also...
The one where they talk through the wall.
Yes.
The dating show where they talk through the wall and they've never met in person.
Marriage at First Sight.
Okay.
Okay.
Sure.
My other guess was going to be, so I married a Zoom murderer.
Yeah.
The long forgotten Mike Myers movie. Great soundtrack, by the way.
Yeah.
Well, you've been married for a long time.
I have. I'll be married 30 years in April.
Look at that.
Wow.
Yeah. I got married when I was 7.
Well, obviously.
Yeah.
So
both child bride and groom.
You'd met before the I do's?
You know what? I'm glad you brought that up because we were engaged 3 months after we met. And we're married 6 months, 3 months after that. And we've been married, well, like I said, ever since.
That's lovely.
So, yeah.
That's great.
So, Caitlin, what do you think when you hear this?
No. I don't.
No, it's just full stop.
Mostly just because the origin story is that the UK goes into lockdown. They're bored. So they join this Facebook group kind of thing with the hope of finding a pen pal to alleviate this boredom.
Right.
And then they wind up getting married. I'm like, if you weren't in that situation, it feels circumstantial more than it does true love. Because if you weren't just bored at home, I don't know that you would have connected in the same way. I don't know that you would have rushed to this conclusion. I don't know that you would have
maybe you're broken open by the pandemic and you just want to have all the feelings.
Hey, I'd love it if this had like a Hallmark ending. I just don't know. I don't know about that.
Well, so far what has happened is she's tried to get into the States to see him, but because of quarantining and stuff and paperwork, she ended up having to go back to the UK after 2 weeks of quarantine, I think, in Detroit.
Oh.
So she's now back in the UK, but people are saying, well, this guy wants a visa.
Oh.
No, he's trying to get
her to go
into America.
Huh.
So, there you go.
It's, you know, marriage is complicated enough.
Yes.
I feel like this layer cake of complication could be too much to bear, but hey, I wish them the best. And welcome everyone from the UK on the show this morning.
Yes.
Everyone.
It's a UK half hour.
Yeah.
Marilyn Dennis and Jamar. Chum 104.5.
Welcome back. Jay Michaels in for Jamar. Meredith is here for Marilyn. Caitlin Green is here. And very excited about this. A very festive, all-new holiday-themed episode of Mary Makes It Easy, delectably titled. See what we did there? Mary Makes It Merry. It's Mary Berg, everybody. Hey, Mary.
Mary Berg.
Hello. Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Mary Berg, you are a cup of coffee, girl. You just hearing your voice, I'm like, ding. I'm up. I'm up. I'm ready. And I am so excited to literally dig into to this show because Mary makes it easy. Mary makes it merry. What doesn't Mary make? What don't you make? Is there any struggle bus for you in the kitchen ever?
Oh, 100%. I am trash at making rice. That's my Achilles heel. I don't know why, but it is what I'm terrible at.
I feel like that's the only thing I can do.
So, Mary, one of the things that you say about your new special is that, you know, it kind of bums you out that people say the worst part of the holidays for them is the holiday meal.
Yeah, totally. I mean, we've all seen it. We've all also been there. It's that, like, your turkey isn't fully defrosted. You feel like you've just been, like, sitting on the floor crying in your kitchen when your guests arrive. And I do not want that to happen, so I'm here with a delicious menu to make you look like an absolute rock star while, like, still keeping your cool in holiday cheer.
And everything that you put together, and I watch you all over the place on so many fantastic shows, and you make things accessible to people who don't know what they're doing. And as someone who is married to a chef, I appreciate how hard that is.
Thank you. Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. I love cooking and life is hard enough and food should not be difficult. So I try to make my recipes as user-friendly as possible, especially for like big events where there is a lot of pressure on that meal. Like the holiday meal isn't something that you can just be like, whatever, let's order a pizza. It kind of has to go well. So giving you those tips, giving you those tricks to get like the perfect crispy roast potatoes or the easiest, most delicious turkey roast that has stuffing in there that is so easy to carve because there's no bones is like the perfect gift, I guess, I could give for the holidays.
And I was just going to ask, are you like the protein person or the sides person? Because part of me feels like so much emphasis is put on the turkey. Get it right. The stress is good. But I think most people just really enjoy the sides.
The sides and the gravy, let's be honest, because that turkey could be bone dry, but as long as you cover it with gravy, it's going to be good. Or cranberry sauce and things like that. But I'm all about the sides.
Yes.
Those good. Crispy potatoes, I've got some delicious, like, spiced carrots with sesame on them that are so tasty. I'm, like, obsessed with sides.
So if we have one takeaway that you want to give to people before we let you go, what would that be about your new holiday special?
I mean, it airs this Monday on CTV Life Channel at 8 p.m.
Atta girl.
Yeah.
Yeah, get that plug in there.
But honestly, I think it's just, you're going to be okay. I no matter what you try, whether you follow my recipe and you're a little bit nervous or you're trying kind of to make like three turkeys all at once, you are going to be okay. It's going to be delicious. The holidays are about gathering and bringing people together. The food's the draw, but you're like the real star of the show.
And the holidays also, you know, about doing things that mean something to you, that people mm-hmm. that you care about. And I know you are working with the Dairy Farmers of Ontario. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, Dairy Farmers of Ontario have been working for the past few years to raise money for children's hospitals around the holiday season. So I'm working with them this year to help with that milk and cookies campaign. So starting on Monday, on when the show airs, if you text 50555, you text a milk emoji and a cookie emoji and a little note to kids who are in the hospitals right now over that Christmas season. They're working to raise $500,000 for children's hospitals across Ontario. So it's a really great campaign. And who doesn't love milk and cookies, especially over the holidays?
And emojis. I love all of this.
All the time.
That really is a personal connection to you. So thank you, Mary, for all the deliciousness you bring to us and all the heart. Honestly, all the best this holiday season. Thank you.
Oh, gosh. Thanks so much. Happy holidays.
Happy holidays.
Wake me up. It's Marilyn, Dennis, and Jamar. Chum 104.5. Get up.
Hey, I'm Jay Michaels, and for Jamar, Meredith is here, as is Caitlin. We'd love for you to be part of the show, too. Text us at 104536, because this has just got to stop, people. There are so many things that have been normalized that we need to denormalize. And I know that might sound like a confusing statement, but to give you an example of things that we need to denormalize, the game involved in either modern dating or most social interactions. Examples, playing hard to get. Arriving fashionably late. Like, why don't we just make things simple? How about we just arrive on time? That's kind of a good idea.
Arriving on time is always a good idea. And on time...
But not early.
A couple of minutes. No, on time... Doesn't on time means 5 minutes early? If you arrive on time, you're late. And if you arrive after that, it's hopeless. Something like that.
Because I think the worst time to arrive to someone's house, and I've seen it happen, is when you're hosting and you're literally in your robe.
Oh, that's
about to go up the stairs to have a shower, and the door opens, and it's someone going, hey, I brought flowers. You should put them somewhere. Do you need any help? Yes, I need you to help yourself back to your house for about 20 minutes.
Yeah. Sit in your car and enjoy time with your phone, but do not come inside until I have actually said start time.
I also love the male perspective of throwing a party like 10 minutes before the guest is supposed to arrive. You're going up to have a shower.
We've
done that earlier. Right?
Well, see, this all started, this whole, what do we need to denormalize started, as most things do, on Reddit.
Yes.
And so everyone's like, what should we do? And then dating culture I thought was really good. Like the notion that you have to wait this many days until you text, or this many days until you call, and that something is wrong with expressing kind of like what you actually feel. If you want to talk to somebody, talk to them. If you don't want to talk to them, don't talk to them. It just makes things more clear. I feel like we've added a lot of hurdles in knowing whether or not someone really likes us just because we read it in like what, Cosmo magazine in the 90s? It doesn't
make sense.
That's
a great point.
Yeah.
Dating shouldn't be dictated by your dentist's office.
No.
We need to denormalize unhealthily obese pets.
I don't know.
They essentially...
I don't know.
This user on Reddit essentially says, you took a warrior and you domesticated it. They aren't happy if they're fat. They eat on instinct. Stop hurting the beings that love us unconditionally.
Oh, they got deep, Reddit user, whoever you are.
I mean, obviously, pet's health is very important.
But
a cuddly little pet that just enjoys treats. Nothing wrong. I don't know. I mean, yeah, you got it. I'm thinking of my dog, Lucy.
Aw.
I mean, her sweater from last year is a little tight. I'm not going to lie. But it's pandemic. You know,
We've
been through a lot. Yeah.
I mean, I think there's also like, you know, getting a little extra kibble. And then there are the people, and I think also the social media accounts that are just like specifically highlighting mega chonky pets. And I know because I think I interacted with one, like I liked a real chubby cat. And now it's like all I get on my Explore feed.
Right.
And I'm like, oh, are people overfeeding their pets just so that they can get Instagram followers?
Oh,
because it
gosh.
Is really cute looking. But also maybe this Reddit user is right. And that Reddit username is SlipperyLizard56.
Oh, good.
And I always listen to Lizard 56.
Tell me you don't think about this in conversation with people sometimes. And I totally agree with this because I use this. Having an opinion on everything, we need to denormalize. It's all right to say, I don't know enough about this to have an opinion. I've had that happen before. I work in news. So socially, I'll see people and they'll be like, what do you think about this? And I'll say, honestly, that's not something I cover a ton. I don't honestly know enough to have an opinion on it. Because I would rather not have an opinion than have a terrible opinion or an uninformed opinion.
I think we need more J. Michaels in the world because I do not think that is a normal like broadcast take on stuff. I think it's like you have an opinion and then you figure out if you actually believe it.
Yeah, you know, you're exactly.
Like following where you're headed. I like that.
I'm and 5 minutes in.
And changing your mind, being like, oh, I did think this, but now I don't. Or having someone write to you with their experience instead of being like, oh my God, this person's telling me off. It's like, no, maybe that's a little different. So, I mean, I was most interested to hear what you would have to say about that because you have to do this all the time for work. Okay, good to know.
Yeah.
We're all taking that mantra into our day.
Mm-hmm. I like this one. I think for couples too, when you see this, it's kind of, it's a little cringy and we should denormalize it. Married couples or couples in partnerships that don't like each other. Toxic elements in a relationship is just not okay, especially publicly.
Yes, I guess so. But doesn't ice the... and it was a bit double-edged sword because I do think there's something lovely about being able to just sort of say where you're at.
Yeah, but don't catfight. Don't catfight at my party.
No, I don't want to catfight at the party. That's bringing back that Office episode where... You know, Steve Carell invited, or Michael Scott invited people over, and he and Jan are just having at it. And
the whole night. Yes, that's exactly what I'm talking about.
Yeah, so
if someone hadn't decided to change the menu at noon, we'd probably be eating by now.
Yeah. That kind of passive-aggressive public performance situation, not great. But being able to just sort of voice like, it's not so perfect.
That I like because that to me is context and it's real and it's perspective. But if the perspective that I'm getting as a friend who goes to dinner with someone and all they do is talk about how much they don't like their significant other,
yes,
I'm like, this isn't good.
Cringe.
this awkward. Isn't good anymore. I don't know how to say that. I don't know what to tell you. I think saying that there's good and bad is real, but the person who's like, it's only bad, oh my gosh, but then they're like, okay, bye, I'm going back home to them right now. Like that yeah. becomes a little hard. Or the person who constantly refers to somebody is like, oh, you know, the wife. I'm like,
yes. How about this? One of my favorites, and I hate this when I hear it from guys. Yeah, I got to watch the kids this weekend. Oh, you mean yours? You mean the ones yeah. that you guys had together? Mm-hmm. You're babysitting, are you? Mm-hmm. You're such a giver. Where's your Dad of the Year award? I've got a little trophy for you.
I'm sure that's the same dad that braided hair and got a million likes.
We are already getting everyone else's things they'd like to denormalize.
Oh, amazing.
And we're getting people who are defending their naturally chonky pets.
Okay.
Yay.
Well, I knew I loved you, chum listener.
Do it. Yeah. What's trending in Toronto with Caitlin Green? Let me know.
This hour of What's Trending brought to you by Cineplex. Cineplex has introduced CineClub, the Movie Lovers Monthly Membership, for $9.99 a month plus tax. If you love movies, CineClub is for you. Join at cineclub.ca.
Tis the season for us to hear all about U.S. Thanksgiving.
Constantly.
Doesn't it
all
just happen
time.
Like that?
It
oh
does.
My gosh.
It does.
As a result, though, so because of everyone talking about it, there was this moment that happened on Live with Kelly and Ryan that has sparked some interesting online debate. And because we're heading into our holiday season, holiday meals will be happening. It is pertinent to us as well. And what it is about is whether or not it's good to eat your holiday meals early. And so Kevin Hart is the guest on with Kelly and Ryan. And there's some discrepancy over when we should be consuming our holiday meals.
What time do you have your meal?
We're black, so we go late. We're
not thank we're you. Early. Dinner should be late.
What
dinner
time do you eat?
2:30. 2:30.
You eat at 2:30?
Yeah, the average American eats at 4.
Are you kidding me? With
no,
Thanksgiving?
It's I can come to mine and yours.
Dinner's at like 8. We well, eat at 8 p.m.
You got it all wrong.
No, 8 p.m. And before that, like,
cocktails
it's about
at 6.
Yeah, you drank.
I didn't mean to upset you. I'm just telling
really
you what time
late.
I eat.
I really got upset just now. 2.
I mean, the guy's
got
a lunch across the
thank you.
I would literally
he's
fight
about
you.
To come across the crypto arena here.
Oh, my God. I would be so upset.
So
Ryan's very existence is bothering Kevin Hart.
Yeah.
Ryan's like, I'm just eating at a certain hour. I don't know.
Okay, but so 2:30 to me, though, I related because, look, Ryan Seacrest does every job under the sun.
That's right.
And has probably been awake and working since 1 a.m.
Yeah, he has to eat that early because he has a 4-7 shift at Stone Cold Creamery.
Yeah, exactly. And, like, you know, maybe he's doing, like, an intermittent fasting type deal
yes.
because he's on TV. Who knows?
Too early, though.
2:30 seems obscene. I think for a big holiday meal, I really don't want to eat later than 5, and I'm pretty okay with like 4 or 4:30.
Also, let's be real. If you eat that late, when are you getting these people out of your house?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true too.
That's why you eat at like 4:30, because hopefully they start to be like, well, I should take my Tupperware and go. Yeah, you should. You should really. 4:01 crazy this time of night.
What about you guys? What do you think?
I like that 4:30 sweet spot. Well, we shoot for 4:30 at my place, and usually it ends up being around 5:30. Mm. But we also are like, we overdo it on hors d'oeuvres and like cheese platters and stuff. And
totally.
Everybody hits the table already kind of full.
That is a thing.
Yeah, it's just a big, you know, I get this starting early because then you just sort of slide your way into the meal and then home. And I do like to eat a little bit earlier so you can go back for seconds and feel like okay about that.
Yeah. The overwhelming response online to this question is 5.
Okay.
People seem really good with 5. And everyone is acknowledging also that the grazing is just sort of what
grazing
sinks your battleship.
Control. You think you've only had a couple of pieces of pepperoni and cheese and crackers, but you've actually had like half of the tray and you can't stop physically putting it in your mouth.
100%. So I wonder what happens at the Jonas Brothers homes because, you know, do they all consume Thanksgiving together? Who goes? What time are they eating? When does it wrap up? Do they get karaoke going after a few beverages?
Does Kevin cook?
What is happening?
Literally, I think Kevin's wife is a chef or something. I think they have a cookbook. And they have restaurants.
They've had cookbooks, yeah.
Oh. Yeah, I think they are.
I would appreciate a Joe Bro holiday special now that we're talking about
it. We are there for that.
I would like that.
I'm down. Silent.
Now, okay, Meredith doesn't sign on this. But what you might like, of course, is the roast of the Jonas Brothers. It has arrived. It is trending.
Yes.
People are very excited about it. All three of them are there. They're receiving, you know, ribbing from comedians. But really the moment that everyone is talking about right now, the moment that is trending, is when they are roasted by their own wives. And the biggest props are going to Sophie Turner, who you know from Game of Thrones. She is married to Joe Jonas. She did what we were all waiting for. She brought up the purity rings. I wish we could enjoy enjoy a clip of her joke, but it is definitely not safe for the radio. And if you want to keep your eggs down in your stomach right now, I'm not going to repeat it for you, but I will say it's quite good.
See, you doing that makes me want to watch it that much more.
100%.
I think it actually works better.
Yeah.
Thank you, everyone.
And good for her for bringing it up, because that's a big area of topic to roast the Jonas Brothers on, for sure.
And her delivery is excellent, and she has this like cutting dry British delivery that really works for the content. Pete Davidson was also there, and she closes her roast by telling Joe, don't wait up. Pete Davidson slipped me his phone number. So.
Yeah, that's when he laughs like.
It might actually happen to me.
Yeah. That's great.
And Kenan Thompson hosts from SNL. Love him.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah.
It's a good crew. Glad they had the humor about themselves to say yes to that, you know?
Important.
Marilyn Dennis and Jamar.
Come on. In the morning.
My station.
Chum 104.5.
All right, I am excited. Jay Michaels in for Jamar. Meredith is here. Caitlin is here. And a very, very, very special guest.
The one and only Queen of the North herself. I'm looking back because she's actually here. We're so excited. Brooklyn Heights.
Good morning.
Good person. Morning.
How are you all? Oh, thank you for having me.
Better now. And honestly, somehow, even with like the headphones, like you made it a look.
I made it a look. This is early morning prostitution is what this is. That is the look we're going for. I'm just
oh my gosh. I could not love you more. And I'm so excited about this new show you're bringing to us. One Queen, Five Queers.
Yes.
It's coming to Crave on December 9th. Now, I know you must have grown up with One Girl, Five Gays.
I sure did.
Show must have had an impact on you.
Massive show.
It's huge. So talk to me about being a part of that legacy, bringing that back to a new generation.
Yeah, I thought it was so important. It was such a groundbreaking show because we just never talk about, there was no show that talked about gay stuff and what it was like to be gay and like actual real honest conversations about it. And I remember it was the show, I've heard this story so many times, you would sneak down and watch it when your parents were asleep and like you'd have the channel, the clicker ready to change the channel and all that stuff. And it was just such an important show to so many people. And I just wanted to bring that back. I thought it was time, but I wanted to do it in a more inclusive way that got non-binary folks, trans folks, so just like the whole spectrum, people of different colors, shapes, sizes, talking about their queer experiences.
And in all the promos that I've seen so far, you just look like you are having a hell of a time.
It was so much fun because I filmed it right after Drag Race, and Drag Race is so much fun to shoot, but it's also an extremely stressful show to shoot.
If you get your own show, do you get your own glam squad? Is that how it works?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Jay.
Absolutely.
But Brooklyn invented her own glam squad.
I invented the glam squad.
I love it.
Yeah.
But Drag Race is hard because like you send someone home every week and it's kind of like it's emotionally draining, but it's very fun. But this show was just uplifting and fun, and I felt like I could go run a marathon afterwards. It was great.
And let's get into Drag Race a little bit. Mm-hmm. Let's get into the drain.
The drain.
Drag Race. No, but we're really getting close to the crown now.
Yes.
And you once again are a part of a legacy, you know, with these shows, and have gone from one side of it to the other. And I gotta say, Brooklyn, this season, owning that host space in a way that
she said glow up.
She is just every week. I love the things that you are adding and making it your own, but
thank
also
you.
Sort of giving reverence. I think that's a very hard job to do, and you're doing it really well. So give us a little tea. We're chum. We love you.
You
give
love
us
a little tea.
On the CDR.
Oh my God, it's been such an incredible season. I mean, I'm just so thankful to be asked back, and thankful that I kind of got a more central role this season, because I mean, I am the drag queen, and it is a show about drag, so I just feel like that was fitting. And yeah, it was really fun to kind of step into those shoes and make it my own a little bit. And I had just so much support and love with my fellow judges. Tracy, Amanda, and Brad were incredible. And we had so much fun working together. And these queens, the level of talent this season is just mind-blowing. It's incredible. And we got good lighting this year.
Which is so key.
You sure did.
We're still waiting. So listen, we know you play a ton of games on Drag Race. We do one around here that we have a lot of fun with. I'm sure you're familiar with it. It's Would You Rather, if you'd like to do a quick round with us.
Absolutely.
Okay, ready?
She says that with authority. I'm familiar.
I'll start off being gentle. Are you ready?
Okay.
Would you rather speak every language fluently or play every instrument perfectly?
Oh, every instrument.
100%.
Yes.
Yes, right answer.
Agreed.
Not that there is a right answer, but I'm with you.
Yeah.
I was going to say that too.
You win. Prize.
Thank you.
Ms. Brooklyn Heights, would you rather have a pause or a rewind button in your life?
Rewind. rewind.
Oh, okay.
Really quick answer. Mm-hmm. Super quick answer.
Do you have regrets?
Oh, of course. Don't we? I have several many regrets. Well, I mean, they all made me who I am today, but if I could go back and undo some things I've done, I absolutely would.
Okay, and also kind of like a rewind and an undo button.
Oh, it's like, that's like the same, like rewind, and then you can go back to that moment and like not do the stupid stuff
yeah,
you did, right?
I love it.
Hi, nice to meet you. No, I don't think so.
Very, exactly. Like, I'm good.
Okay, and we're ending on scandal with my question.
Okay.
Would you rather shoot yourself in the foot or have all of your internet browsing history be public knowledge?
All my internet browsing, I look at porn. you could put my internet browsing history up there.
See, yeah, I'm with
see
it.
What I'm into.
Yeah.
Own, I mean,
own,
yeah,
we found it.
We found your next show.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. Oh, God. No.
Owning your history, and saving your foot at the same time.
I need my feet. Okay. I mean, you know.
Great point. Love it.
Who does? Brooklyn Heights, thank you so much for gracing us with your presence this morning. Honestly, we're so excited for all of these shows, including the new one. One Queen, Five Queer is coming to Crave December 9th. And, of course, Drag Race, you can catch that every Thursday.
Yeah.
If you missed any of it, it's all up on Crave for you to stream. Thank you, Queen.
Thank you. I love you all. See you soon.
Wake up, Toronto. Let's keep it moving. Good morning.
Marilyn, Dennis, and Jamar on Chum.
I'm Jay Michaels for Jamar. I'm from News Talk 1010. Thank you so much for having me in today. Meredith is here. Caitlin Green as well. And I have to know, new TikTok trend. How are we feeling about the Wayne Gretzky coffee at Tim Hortons? Are you familiar?
No, I don't know this.
Okay, so let's break it down. Wayne Gretzky's number is
99.
Which means the coffee ingredients would probably have something to do with the nines.
Oh, okay. No.
I was like, I'm having 99 shots of espresso. What is this?
Think of your worst nightmare in a coffee. Would it be, I don't know, 9 cream, 9 sugar?
Yep. Yes, it would. Yes, it would.
That's the Wayne Gretzky.
So like a double-double, but a niner or something. Wow, 9 cream, 9 sugar?
Yeah, so I'm a Tim Hortons guy, and my go-to is large dark roast, double-double with sweetener.
Yeah.
So I do 2 cream, but I do sweetener.
Okay.
But what cup? What size cup?
Large.
Large, right.
So here's what I'm willing to do. This time tomorrow, I'll buy it on the way in, and I'll do a live taste test.
Oh, well.
I mean, I know it's going to be disgusting, but I feel like you guys have been so kind to me. I should take one for the team and do one tomorrow for you. Maybe do the Wayne Gretzky.
Wow.
9 and 9.
I wonder how. I cannot wait for that. I really can't. I'm sure I'll be able. It'll probably be a very heavy cup.
Yeah.
All that cream.
I'm going to bring extra Timbits in to soak up the...
Yeah, you're going to need some soak factor.
You're
going to
bounce me out of here at 9
how
o'clock.
How does the great one feel about this?
I was just going to say, how does Wayne Gretzky feel about this? He's one of, you know, arguably, he's an athlete.
Yes.
I can tell you how he feels, really.
Yeah.
Or role play.
Okay.
Hello? Yes, hi. Yes. Continue sending the checks to California.
Oh, I see.
That's how he feels about it. I'll get the Biebs bits.
Yeah.
To go along with it.
Tim Biebs.
That's coming Monday. The Tim Biebs.
Marilyn Dennis and Jamar.
Come on. In the morning.
My station.
Chum 104.5.
So this is legit a thing. I've had my wisdom teeth out. I know I was spouting gobbledygook. My mom told me that she took me into a supermarket, and all I wanted to do was talk to the ice cream freezer. Apparently, I was like, where is the heavenly hash? I want the heavenly hash.
I feel like that's part of the fun of having your wisdom teeth out. I have legitimately no idea where this came from. And my dentist, you know, was an older gentleman. And I woke up, and I said, you just think you like tennis because Anna Kournikova is hot.
That's what I said to him.
That's like, great.
Like, I don't even watch tennis. I have no idea. My mom was like, what is happening to my daughter?
I know why you like tennis, yeah. Dr. Kaplan.
Yeah.
He's hot.
Have you had that happen, Caitlin?
No.
You haven't done wisdom teeth?
My wisdom teeth situation was so bleak that I went full general anesthetic.
Oh.
So I've missed out on this phenomenon, but I've seen it happen to people.
Yeah.
And I believe that it is one of the best things you can record and put on the internet.
Oh, absolutely.
Just saying.
I was also told 5 years ago I did a dental appointment, and when I came back and I woke, my wife said, you were convinced I wasn't coming to get you.
Right.
My wife wasn't coming. My wife, she's awesome, but I know she's not. You're here. So a 22-year-old woman, you're probably seeing this on all your socials. And if you have one that happened to you, text us at 104536. She's 22, and she went on an absolute rant after dental surgery about Taylor Swift.
I'm always thinking about Taylor Swift, and it's not fair because I ran a whole Tumblr for her fan base for many years. I have loved her since I was 11. and I stood by her side. I stood there, Mom, when everyone hated Taylor Swift, and I said she does not deserve it. It's true. And then everyone in the world woke up, and they said, we love Taylor Swift. And I said, I know.
They woke up, and I said, I know.
Oh, I hope that gets duetted or whatever they do on TikTok.
Oh, yeah.
Stitched or something. It'd be so good. Oh, yeah. She's so, but she is a little lucid, though. I mean, she's trippy, but she's saying a lot.
It's because she has a lot to say.
She has a lot to say, Jay.
Seemed like a drunken rant. This is like what I feel like if somebody insulted Taylor Swift in her presence and she had a few cocktails, I feel like that's what you'd be hearing.
The only thing missing is being in a Burger King drive-thru line.
Yeah. Man, this is a drive-thru?
And your eyelash.
Ma'am, this is a drive-thru. So this did remind us of when Taylor Swift was on Jimmy Fallon and Taylor Swift's mom, with her phone, taped Taylor Swift after LASIK eye surgery. Listen.
Okay, so she found a snack.
It wasn't the one I wanted.
It's a banana, by the way.
Stop, you can't cry. That's not supposed to be what you're doing.
And I tried to get this one.
Okay, let me get these for you.
But what do we do with this now?
I'll leave it. It's mine.
But it doesn't have a head.
Never not going to be funny.
No.
Oh.
Today, randomly, someone's going to come up to you and say, but it doesn't have a head. I guarantee it. Oh that is so funny.
So Taylor gets it. That's what, you know, she gets it. Her fans get it. She gets it.
And I will say we won't be mad if you have any videos of friends and family making these same types of, you know, loopy assertions about beheaded bananas. Just send them right on into us on Twitter or Instagram.
Yeah, or if you have a video of your wife on your phone, like right now.
Oh.
And cue my wife writing me saying, no, do not play that. But it was pretty awesome.
Do it.
Yeah. What's trending in Toronto with Caitlin Green?
Let me know.
Well, the already very intense Canadian housing market could become even more so. This is according to real estate speculators and even the Bank of Canada. So housing prices in Canada are expected to potentially increase again in the coming months. And if you just heard me say that and thought, how is that possible? You're not alone. But what's expected to happen is that investors and first-time buyers, out of concern about the possibility of interest rates going up, they might rush to start buying. They want to buy before interest rates go up.
Right.
And right now, I think I read that it was expected that around 25% of the Canadian housing market is investor-owned.
10 years ago, it was the smallest market. Now it's the biggest market of homeowners is investor buyers, as in people that speculate homes and flip them or buy multiple properties.
Yes. And
crazy.
So oftentimes, unless they're excessively wealthy, they're very heavily leveraged. And so when they think about the, you know, the possibility of interest rates going up, they're like, oh, wait a minute, money's not going to be free anymore. I'm going to finish buying stuff and then hang on. And then first-time homebuyers who don't own anything and are very concerned about the expense that they're going to incur as a result of interest rates going up, they might be rushing to get into the market now. So the interest rate increase is expected to happen sort of like mid-quarters of next year. So the Bank of Canada is issuing a warning that we could see a sudden price drop when that happens as well. Just to add an extra layer of confusion to everyone also listening to this and being like, but all my money's tied up in this. So they're just saying bumpier roads ahead. Please consider if it's a good time to buy or not. And just know that buying out of fear, never a great option. That's sort of what we're being told by the Bank of Canada. Please don't buy out of fear. We don't want you to do that.
So we briefly touched on this story at the very beginning of the show this morning, and I thought Meredith's head was going to explode. Yeah. How are you feeling about it now?
I know it's on TV, but I wish you could see my face. I'm like, is that better? No, it's worse. Away.
Is it good?
It's not good. It's not good. It's such a difficult time to try to enter a market.
There's so true.
So many people in that position, and you know, then you think, okay, well, I'll go outside the city. No.
Yeah.
Well, you won't.
That used to be a thing.
It's very difficult.
Now outside of the city is Regina.
Exactly. And you know, when you buy in the same market that you sell in, so to keep that in perspective, you know, if you're like, hey, my home is devalued, but I want to move. Well, you know, presumably, what you're buying will now be more affordable as well. So to just temper that with a little bit of logic for everyone.
I like your soothing.
So that we don't feel like garbage.
It's going to be okay.
You want to distract yourself with a music documentary, which I love to do.
Yes, I do.
Director Peter Jackson's 3-part docuseries, The Beatles, Get Back, is here. It is trending. It includes never-before-seen restored footage that was originally shot all the way back in 1969. And some of it was used for this, you know, the 1970 film Let It Be. And originally their idea back then was was to write 14 new songs to perform live. But then tensions, obviously, as we know, within the band derailed those plans. Cameras were rolling this whole time. And they would kind of, you know, work things out, return to studio, record the last album, Abbey Road. Let It Be winds up being shelved and not released until after the breakup. And everyone's like expecting the footage and this time to be nothing but like bad and tumultuous. But what a lot of people are saying about this new series is that the band had many more enjoyable moments working on the project than was originally told.
There's so much joy there.
There is. And there's also just like the joy of hearing this restored clip of them performing Get Back.
Peter Jackson is clearly just such a fan.
Yes.
Of this band.
Who knew someone would say, hey, there's 75 hours of footage we have no idea what to do with. The director of The Lord of the Rings is like, hold my beer.
Yeah exactly.
Yeah.
Oh, I know what to do with a lengthy screen time.
Yes, yeah, very true.
Yeah, he does. And it's funny, on that clip, that's not George Harrison playing lead guitar. It's John.
Oh, wow.
So there you go, a little tidbit.
Yeah, that's great. So the Get Back thing, it's out, I think it's tonight. It's on Disney Plus.
Yeah.
It's an absolute spectacular. I actually did a really deep dive podcast with Chum archive tape of all of the Beatles from like forever ago, because Chum's been around forever as well as the biggest radio station in the world. And Tom Jokic and I, along with Christopher Ward at Famous Lost Words, I thought I was a Beatles nerd until I sat down with these two guys. It's coming out this weekend.
Oh, amazing. That's amazing. Perfect timing. And we all love a good music documentary here. You were just recommending one off the air.
The Pink documentary. Yeah, it's also on Amazon. And it turns out that Meredith and I both have cringy Pink interview moments that we'll share with you in just a couple of minutes. I think yours is worse, by the way.
I know, but I'm like,
how could you say that?
No, but I don't think you are taking it in the way that it happened, because it actually wasn't overly crazy.
Okay, it was all about tone.
Yeah.
I'm very excited.
Time to wake up. Marilyn, Dennis, and Jamar.
The Chum Morning Show.
Okay, so real quick, I'm Jay Michaels for Jamar. I work at News Talk 1010. I'm on this afternoon at 2. Thank you so much for having me here today. Okay, so moments ago, we were talking about Pink, and you and I both had awkward moments with her.
Yes.
I used to have a video show on YTV called Chart Attack.
Right.
And I interviewed Pink in a gym. And at one point while we're working out, she goes, well, you're in pretty good shape, Mad Dog. And she reaches over and squeezes my thigh.
Oh.
And I turned as red as a human being can possibly turn. And now, anytime I ever interview her again, she's like, you're Red Face Guy from Toronto.
No
way.
Yeah.
Wow.
You're like your leg grab lady from
Hollywood. Your awkward grab lady.
Yeah.
This was a long time ago.
I was going to say, this is before that probably wouldn't
That's
be a thing.
That's a great point. I could probably ruin her.
Yes.
Wow. That's good. I think you taught mine.
I don't know.
Mine was just, something that I think a lot of people can relate to in terms of Zooms and being online and having to sort of say goodbye. And it only gets more awkward because I actually explained the awkwardness with Pink to Keith Urban.
Thank you for taking the time today, Keith.
My pleasure, Meredith. So nice to talk to you.
Yeah, so nice. Yay.
Yay.
All right. So now we do. When I talked to Pink, I said, okay, bye. Have a nice life. You're the best. I appreciate you so much. Have a good life. I hope I see you again.
And she was so nice. She laughed. And, oh, gosh. It's one thing to be awkward, but to be awkward in front of those two is tough. But, hey. Zoom is democratizing. It doesn't matter if you're a celebrity.
Oh,
you're
doing
an interview, so true.
That exiting out of Zoom is just awkward.
You know what? I'd rather have somebody exit out Zoom by saying, have a nice life, than the dragging on small talk after the questions are, so what are you going to do? No. And I just want to close my laptop and be like, I'm saving us both the effort here.
There should be a function where it just goes fuzzy and disappears.
Yeah.
Like when you go into a tunnel and I'm losing you.
Yeah. Just close the laptop.
Have a nice life.
Anyway. Because I was like, I want to say, see you again. I don't know if I'm going to see her again. I don't know if we're going to grab thighs again. I don't know. But I'm appreciative of her, and she had a great sense of humor.
One can only hope.
Watch that doc if you haven't yet. It's fantastic. Thanks. So good.
Marilyn, Dennis, and Jamar. Podcast. Chum 104.5. Podcast.